Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to Orbitals, an astrology podcast. I'm your host, William Holloway, and today's show is all about Jupiter's upcoming ingress into Cancer. With me to discuss and dissect is my special guest and friend, astrologer Vivi Henriette of Art of the Zodiac. Welcome.
Thank you. I almost said welcome back.
You can. You. Why not?
Welcome. Welcome to your own show. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling retrograde-y.
Yeah. We were just catching up about just how our March has been going and about Neptune and Aries. And yeah, it's today. Today, oh yeah, by the way, today is Neptune and Aries. That's not what this episode's about, but it is very loud. Neptune.
Do you know where it is, by the way?
Where it is?
It's on my sun.
It is?
I'm 0 degrees Aries. So everyone's like, oh my God, 0 degrees Aries. I'm like, I'm here. I am your talisman of 0 degrees.
Yes, you are. You are the talisman. Oh my God. I didn't realize it was at 0 Aries.
Uh-huh. Okay. I am the experiment. So just watch you me. Are. See how it goes.
Yeah, we're just going to sit back and see what happens to you. So it'll be like the, that'll give us what we need to know for the next 14 years.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No.
Today we're going to talk about Jupiter and Cancer, which is an ingress that I'm looking forward to. Briefly, we can just say what is Jupiter in astrology. One way to distill it down is Jupiter rules the principle of expansion. Mm-hmm. It's our outlook, our worldview, our ability to learn, teach, grow. Something I've been thinking a lot about with Jupiter is our capacity. It can also be our capacity for charisma and influence.
Oh, I like that.
You know, I mean, charisma is very Venus, but the ability to pull people in.
You know? I know communication is Mercury, but I think of oration, right? Mm-hmm. Like speaking is Mercury, but great orators, right? I think that's Jupiter. Jupiter does have like a magnetism about it, right? Like this ability to draw someone in with wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's so amazing when you get Jupiter and Venus working together, right? And it makes sense, right? So Jupiter, I think about even too, like the overlap between them, because thinking about Pisces, where Jupiter rules, but Venus is exalted there. So I think it's okay to say they both have their sorts of charisma.
They do. And someone said Jupiter is the key to the quality of a person's life.
I don't know if I agree with that. But
yeah. In the sense that, like, say someone's outlook, someone that's super negative might not be the most happy, maybe, right? Someone who has a very positive outlook or who's always has faith that things are going to work out tend to be happier. But that's not always true.
I see where they're going with, but I feel we're going to come into, if you continue that line of thinking, it becomes problematic, for instance. Okay. Because then you would say, if Jupiter's the key and we're doing something like traditional Hellenistic astrology, where we want to look at, is Jupiter happy in a chart? Is Jupiter not happy in a chart? Right. I personally have Jupiter in Sag. So I have like endless hope, right? I like will smash my face in the sidewalk and keep doing it again because I'm like, this time I'm going to fly. It's
right.
Problems, right? But I don't know if I'm like happier overall than someone who might have Jupiter in Capricorn, who might have had harder, like their relationship to hope is a little different, right? Like that person might go, man, hope is like limited. Hope is sort of driven by how hard I can work, right? I think it's someone with Jupiter in Capricorn who understands like luck is what I make of it, like that sort of endurance. And you know, yeah, maybe that person struggles with the Jupiterian, right? But I wouldn't say that their overall quality of life would lack or their key to happiness. That person could overall be like, have a very happy, satisfying life. So not to like rain on that person's parade, but I think that we have to sort of discuss the nuance there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Do you have a good Jupiter story?
Yeah, actually, I do. The last time Jupiter was in Cancer, which
Yeah.
was June 2013 to June 2014.
Okay.
Some of my most favorite memories of my adult life happened during that time. There was a lot of coming together with friends. I spent a lot of time with friends during that time. There was a lot of art projects that I did with others, like a lot of artistic collaboration that happened. And some of my favorite artistic collaborations happened at that time. I did a lot of video and photo project collaborations that I still look back fondly at. And also at that was when I got my first adult job. So I started making like the most money I'd ever made at that time. Got my first apartment by myself. Didn't have to have a roommate for the first time.
And where is it in your chart? Where's Cancer in your chart? What
There,
house?
it's in my third house.
Ooh, and
Yeah.
then what does it add? Does you have other does it
So
find anything?
I have my Mars, Moon, and Uranus in Scorpio.
Okay, and what house? I can't
Seventh
remember.
house. That makes
Oh,
sense.
that's cool.
And I would say that, when Jupiter was in Cancer, that was a much more beneficial and fruitful time for me than, say, when Jupiter was in Taurus, which is, I'm a Taurus rising.
Yeah.
So, but I prefer Jupiter sextiling or trining some stuff than necessarily conjunct, because
I kind
Jupiter in
of
the first house was a little bit extra for me, to be perfectly honest. It was good, but also there was a little bit too much going on, if you know what I mean.
Oh, totally. It's funny. I had a client yesterday and she had Sag rising, so Jupiter in the seventh. And she's like, "Oh, my astrologer, it's Jupiter. It's my seventh house is going to be great." And then had like an epic breakup. And I'm like, "Yeah, Jupiter doesn't necessarily make things beautiful. That's Venus.
Yeah.
It makes things big." So like, and sometimes that's fun, but sometimes it can be like the balloon pops in your seventh house and you have to sort of like face reality. And sometimes that balloon pops in internally in the
Yeah.
house.
It bl can blow things up a little bit, you know?
You know, it usually it ends well, but
Yeah.
it can be uncomfortable. So I totally agree with that. Like how I feel like, Jupiter in the first, well, I'd imagine is an overall time to maybe bring some nice things in. I could imagine this sort of how it could feel a little extra.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, like I gained the most weight I ever gained in a very long time, like during that time. I mean, it's so real. Like every Taurus rising I know, at that time they were either getting fat or they were Adam Ellenbossing and getting a super buff. He's also a Taurus rising. So I was
I
like watching
forgot
him get
about
re
that.
I'm like watching him get all buff as I'm getting fatter and fatter. But that time's behind us now, so I've lost the weight. But it again, astrology good, astrology funny.
It's funny because I'm looking at Jupiter going into Cancer, and I actually think for me personally, it's in my 12th house, but it does
Okay.
like I'm happy it trines my water stuff, which is kind of a hard area. So I'm like thankful for that. Last time I was there, some good stuff happened. But I get really stoked when I'm like looking at clients' charts and it's like in the ninth house. I'm like, I hope you write a book or something. This is exciting.
Can you think of any Jupiter and Cancer stories, or when you think back to that time, 2013, summer of 2013 to summer of 2014?
Well, I have one Jupiter story that's not necessarily Jupiter in Cancer, but it's
Mm.
like my big Jupiter story. I can share if you want.
Yeah.
And then Jupiter in Cancer, I was building a business, and I
Okay.
think, and I could definitely feel the rev up to when Jupiter went in Leo, and I was just like on. But I think there was a lot of, it was a really exciting time. Like it's interesting. I think about Jupiter in Cancer, and it's in my 12th, but it was a time of like, I was kind of very involved in the collective. Because I was building this rest, this well, at that point it was like a food truck, food entity, but I was surrounded by people, and of course anything in the 12th house is going to hit make trines to the eighth and fourth, so it's going to bring up sort of that core story of like who I am, how I really deeply intertwine with other people, and that was very much my story last time Jupiter went into Cancer. But my big Jupiter story is like, This is audio only, so you can't see, but I wear this Jupiter talisman, and I'll sort of spare you the whole story. But I was going through like the worst time of my life, like having like severe PTSD, like fucked up trauma, like I couldn't sleep. I was just like crying all the time. I was just like a mess. And I don't know if you've ever had a period like that in your life, and you're like trying everything. It's like, I don't know, like doing all the therapy and like just all the things. And it's when I first got into astrological magic, because I learned about I've learned about Christopher Warnock and EMDR at the same time, the sort of therapy that lets you sort of go back and make good with memories. There's a way better way to put that, but anyway, trying to keep this brief.
That's okay.
So I have this very messed up Mercury in Pisces that I sort of blame on my sort of doom spiral mind. And I was like, I don't know. Well, I was like, I'll try therapy and I'll try magic at the same time. Like, let's see if any of this works. I have no clue. So I reached out to Christopher Warnock, and I decided, because I have a really strong Jupiter in my charts in the fifth house, it's in Sagittarius, it's aspecting this sort of sad Mercury, that if we strengthen Jupiter, perhaps I can help the Mercury out. And it's just this sort of cute story. So the day that the talisman arrived, or that I was getting ready to sort of, I don't know, bring it in, speak to it, make my offering to Jupiter, was the same day. It was my first therapy session doing EMDR, because it happened to be a Thursday. My therapy's on Thursday. So that morning I woke up, I lit my candle, did my, incense, did my little meditation. It's the summertime, and I go out and it's like thundering very briefly. And I was like, fuck, is this a bad omen? Oh no, it's actually good. It's thunder. It's Jupiter. Like, this is great. So I went to do this. And if you do EMDR, the first session, they usually like have you create like a safe space in your mind. So I did that, and I used this Jupiter figure, the one that's sort of pictured on the sort of card when you get the talisman. I'm nobody make me a spokesperson for anything. I'm like so bad at details here. But I so essentially I'm like I'm taking Jupiter, and I'm making Jupiter my like sort of guardian in my EMDR therapy space. And I continue to do that. And within months, like, and I'm not saying this to say like this will do work for anyone else. I have no idea to this day if it was the magic, if it was the therapy, it was a combination of both, and no clue what happened. But within months, my like anxiety lifted, and the sort of panic that I felt like my entire life, like the things that would trigger me, I should say, right? Like certain things that would like have me just like you lose it, had like dissipated. And I could feel this sort of profound shift that this to this day I can still feel, like I haven't gone that far down again.
That's
And so
great.
yeah, and so I think of Jupiter as this. Yeah, so to me, the connection between Jupiter as wisdom and intellect, and maybe that faith in something bigger, right? That's sort of my personal relationship to Jupiter, and I wear this talisman every single day. And again, to honest with you, I have no idea if it works. It may, but it did. It works for me.
Yeah. And maybe it just comes back to that idea of optimism and outlook and just like having that, lift you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all kind of the same thing, right? I mean, if it works, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're actually, and you're right, it does speak to that. Like, what is, like, if we think we're lucky people, we're going to be luckier.
Yeah.
If we, faith is sort of that, like, leap in understanding that I don't know, like, kind of seeing in the dark. I don't know what's there, but I'm going to trust it's going to be good.
Yeah, totally. Should we talk about how Jupiter and Gemini has been and how we're looking forward for it to be over?
I know we did these surveys as I'm doing the astrology festival, and we're asking astrologers, like, what's your favorite part of 2025? What year am I in? And everyone's like, Jupiter in Cancer, Jupiter in Cancer, Jupiter. It's like, okay, we get it.
So true.
I don't like Jupiter in Gemini. I mean, bless people who have it natally, and I hope I'm glad it's working for people. It hasn't been all bad for me, but overall, not my favorite.
It's not my favorite, and I've really been thinking about it for a while as to why. I mean, obviously it's in detriment. That's
Yeah.
the first thing, right? So when the planet's in detriment, that's not a great place for it to be. My first thoughts about it were it's like scattered judgment, an inability to concentrate, rash speech, and carefree in all the wrong ways.
Okay, I have a analogy. Tell me if you can get this right. Have you ever been like you have like Google or whatever maps you use on, right? In your car, you have the maps on and it's talking, which is usually great. Like you want the map to give you guidance. Very, you know, I trust Jupiter. You're going to lead me to the way, right? Okay. But then you get a phone call and you're trying to talk to the person, but then the maps is talking over and you can't get it to stop.
Oh, yeah.
Like that feels like Jupiter and Gemini. You're like, but
Yeah.
not now. You're
Not
like, I get
now.
it. You're trying, but like, oh, like this is just static. Like
Yeah.
that
Well, that
feels very
happens to
Jupiter.
me all the time. And I'm on lots of like group texts with people. And every time I'll be like in the middle of nowhere and I go to click, I'm like, oh, where do I need to go next? Where do I need to go next? And then a text comes through and then I click on that by accident. Then I can't get back to the thing. And then I've lost my way. Then I'm completely lost. And then I'm thinking in my mind how mad I am at that person for texting me at that moment as if they had any idea. But it's always the same person. I'll just say that.
Yeah,
They don't
that's the,
know.
I feel like that is Jupiter and Gemini, both of those things. You're
Yeah.
like, this should be good. You're trying to tell me where to go, but then somehow we end up having to do this sort of weird turnaround. I end up in five. Yeah, because yeah, then you can't hear the maps. If on my case, it's the same thing. You can't hear, it's obscured, but you can't hear the person either,
Right.
right? It's like you don't get to text, you don't get to hear where you're going. You just end up in this like static state.
Static state. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. I also think Gemini is just a better suited sign. For an individual or like a pair of people, not a whole bunch of people. So I think that's the other part of it. You know what I mean? Like Jupiter and Gemini is just not, it doesn't work for a bunch of people. So on an individual level, maybe that you make that planet work really well for you, but I just don't think it's meant for more than two people at once.
Oh my God, I've never thought about that by way, but if you think about it, yeah, like Jupiter rules Sagittarius and Pisces, and in their own ways, each of those are like multitudes,
Yeah.
right? Like Sagittarius feels like the many fiery mass, and Pisces is like everything at once.
Yeah.
But then it's like taking that mindset to like something that's supposed to have like a conversation with two people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. You know what Jupiter in Cancer feels like? It feels like the long, hot magnesium salt bath that I take after a Jupiter and Gemini day, right? Like after like the chaos where like you couldn't get anywhere, you have like 10 people texting you, et cetera, et cetera. And then you just like slip into the bath and your brain just like shuts off.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, I can't wait.
I think of Zeus too, right? Like I think of Zeus, the god who was just so unhinged and was like constantly, it feels very like I feel like Jupiter and Gemini is Zeus being like, now I'm a bird because I want to get with this lady. Now I'm a tree. Like just this sort of like chaos. You're like, dude, settle down, right? Like I think it's like if we look at the mythology, like Jupiter and Gemini feels just like the most unhinged parts of that god.
Yes. And it's like you think about evolution through the signs, there's like an arrogance to it that kind of dissipates when you get to the Cancer side of it. There's a lot more mature and understanding and a little bit more compassion. The last time Jupiter was in Cancer, some things I noticed when looking back is when Black Lives Matter was created, the hashtag was created. Because I think about like people coming together for a cause that they all care a lot about, that's protecting, about protecting people. And so I think that's why you see like, because if you look in like old astrology books and you talk about Jupiter and Cancer, they'll often talk about like the family values and returning to like protecting the family unit, or you know, protecting like the idea of marriage or whatever. And that stuff I think is kind of Jupiter and Cancer, because it's a group of people trying to protect this thing they feel is sacred.
You're making it sound very right wing right now.
Well, I think it's that, but I think it's the same thing as gay marriage being legalized, which happened right after it happened in Jupiter and Leo. But during Jupiter and Cancer, in 2013, 2014, the states were legalizing it very quickly. It was becoming more and more like it was clear that it was going in that direction.
It makes me think of something like a sort of larger point is that often I've noticed. The something like, okay, for instance, if gay marriage was legalized in Jupiter and Leo, to use that as the example, it's often when like the preceding period where that I like that concept is really worked out. So to your point, I think what you're saying is when Jupiter's in Cancer, people are really giving thought to like, what is home? What is family? What is connection? Like really thinking about those things. So then when again, it gets into our fire sign action, then we can put it to work.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly. Like we're
Okay.
seeing with Neptune going from water to air. So,
Exactly. Ooh.
or fire, sorry, water to fire. Yeah, sorry,
It's
but
retrograde still. It's this most
retrograde
retrograde-y of
still,
all the retrogrades.
all the retrogrades. And then other things I noticed were there was a lot of peace talks. So, lots of like pauses and violence that were happening. Nothing that fully stuck. And I so that was something also interesting, because then if you look at the Jupiter Cancer before, that was in 2001 during 9/11. So 9/11 happens, and then there was a brief moment where everyone kind of felt like they were coming together, but then it obviously didn't last very long because then war started that next summer. And so that makes me think about how wonderful Jupiter and Cancer is. When you think about the moon, though, it's this kind of fleeting thing too, right? It's this thing that never fully lasts, but we need these memories and these moments imprinted us to keep it going when we get to that fire moment.
Also thinking about the way in which, because if you're thinking about something like 9/11, and I'm totally not equipped to have this conversation on any level, but what I can say, just a general astrology thing, is knowing that Jupiter was in Cancer during that period, we also know that there were other big things happening in the sky that spoke to that moment, right? And so it's interesting to your point, though, maybe the Jupiter in Cancer was the way that people came together, the people, the way that, especially under such a big disaster, tragedy, how people were really thinking about home, family, what means to them, right? So that it's sort of, again, repeating what you're talking about, that Jupiter in Cancer really is a sense of like, what is meaningful to us.
Yeah, it's like people, you see these images and stories and memories of people coming together, and unfortunately it's always due to something awful happening. And that has nothing to do with Jupiter and Cancer, but it's just that Jupiter in Cancer helps the people come together and then see the bigger picture, right? Or at that moment anyway, there's a moment of reflection and coming together. And yeah.
Which I think is really beautiful right now. We all know we're in this like chaos moment where at least I can't, I mean, I would argue perhaps globally, but at this particular country that we're in, right, the United States. I think overall the feeling is one of anxiety and ungroundedness. And so maybe the Jupiter in Cancer can bring some sort of balm as we think about like what's an alternative, especially, I don't know, especially like every, like, I think a question for a lot of people is like what is family? Whether that's like alternative versions of family, who do I care for, what are my friend groups, right? Like what is home? Those big questions really feel to be coming to the fore again.
Yeah, like again, like you said, it's scary in the United States right now. We don't know. One minute it feels like everything's being taken from underneath of us, and we're not sure which way the wind is blowing, right? So getting that into that protective mode of like, what's family? What do I need to protect? And like, how am I going to do it? I think we're all going to be feeling that to an extent. And it's going to be good because again, it's a unifier, right? We need that unifier. I think we can sense it on the horizon, but we're not quite there yet.
It makes me think of too, we can't think of Cancer without thinking about Capricorn, right? Like those two are always going to be in a seesaw with each other. I think of Capricorn as a sense of security, stability, like structure. And that feels where the pain point is for a lot of us right now. Like people are losing their jobs. People don't know, right? Like, don't have to go into it. Like a lot of people feel insecure, unsafe, et cetera, et cetera. And then sort of the, like one of the ways to sort of process that is by coming together. And at least, even if people don't have the physical resources, like how can they emotionally support each other to like get to that, to sustain the Capricorn axis? Does that make
Yeah,
sense?
it makes total
Yeah.
sense.
Jupiter in Cancer, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
That's our consensus.
So why don't you talk about what you have going on?
So yeah, I'm Vivi Henriette. Hello again. There was one introduction. This is the second, and I operate under Art of the Zodiac, and in many ways, I'm a consulting astrologer. I do, workshops, and I bring astrologers together. And I think the most, well, I mean, there's one thing I'm working on right now, which I want to share, and that's the LA Astrology Fest. So, or LA Astro Fest. I got fucked up the name of my own festival. But me and Nisa Grazda and a couple other people at this point working with us are organizing a 3-day, it's an astrology conference, but it's lighter. We're calling it a festival. I know it's confusing. But it's 3 days, April 25th through 27th, and we are having it's a roster of 14 astrologers all together. There's workshops, there's lectures, there's a kickoff party with puppets and clowns. I'm so excited. We're celebrating astrology in LA with like my favorite astrologers, including four who are coming from out of town, which include Diana Rose Harper, Sam Reynolds, Jonah Emerson Bell, and Lindsay Turner, aka Bad Pastor. I think that's all for our out of town people. Anyway, I'm really exciting. Excite I am exciting. I'm excited to see
You're exciting and excited.
I'm exciting and excited. This is the first festival for what I hope is many more. So if you aren't in LA, come out next year. Come out this year. We still have
Yeah.
tickets. Get a plane. You're there. You're going to
I'll
be
be
there.
there. I'll be there. I'm super excited.
Yeah. So what are you most excited about? I'm going to turn this back on you.
Well, I'm excited to spend time with you in person. And then I'm excited to see some astrologers I've never met in person. I'm excited to see people talk I've never seen talk. I'm excited to go to LA. I haven't been to LA in such a long time. I'm excited for all of it. And everyone should come. It's going to be so great. And I do think like it definitely has much more of a festival vibe than a conference vibe. And that's refreshing.
Well, we really wanted to. The first night, honestly, you have to know anything about astrology to enjoy it. There's a light panel discussion on specifically astrology in LA, and then we're going to have performances by Planets, Plants, Plants, which is this wonderful clown troupe, clown no makeup. It's I can't describe this to people, but it's a sort of comedy show based on the chart of the moment. It's brilliant. And then there's this wonderful puppet troupe, Freak Nature Puppets, who are doing an astro-themed puppet show. So Friday night is just going to be a chance to like have some entertainment, shop, be with other astrologers. Saturday and Sunday, there's lectures and conferences, but really we wanted to make it accessible. So even though like the lectures are short, an hour each, and while like they're going to be robust enough, if you're a advanced astrologer, you're going to get something out of them. But if you're new, they're going to be sort of set up in such a way that you're also going to get something from them. So we really wanted to create a space that's accessible
And acceptable.
and acceptable, thank you, for everyone from the astro curious to the professional astrologer. Yeah, that's my
Yay.
elevator pitch.
I love it. I cannot wait. That's going to be so much fun.
Thank
And
you.
what are the dates again?
Friday, April 25th through April 27th. And yes, astrologers, I know what you're thinking. Wow, that's the Mars-Pluto opposition. It is. But you know where I want to be during hard astrology with other astrologers.
Yes, I love it. Oh, that's going to be great. I'll put a link and all the things will be linked there so people can get tickets if they're listening and they want to come.
Thank
But
you.
you, like you said, there's an online version too, right?
So
Or
the
part of it.
two workshops, so Diana Rose Harper and Sam Reynolds are both giving workshops, and those are going to be available for streaming. So if you
Okay.
can't be in LA, there are streaming options.
Okay. Just for those
Yeah.
who might be interested in some of this. Cool. All right. Well, are you ready to play the Wheel of Fate?
I've never been more ready.
Yes. All right. Can you see the wheel? Oh, wait, that's
Oh,
the
this is so good. Okay.
sign. So we're going to play the Wheel of Fate. How this works is we spin a wheel, it gives us a random planet. And we spin another wheel, it gives us a random sign, and then we go from there.
Okay.
We ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
This is very exciting. I'd be jealous, everyone. It's jealous.
Oh,
Okay, nice. I dig that.
nice. All right.
Okay.
Sun.
Oh, confetti.
Yeah. All right. So we got the sun
Okay, where's it going? Signs, signs, signs.
in.
Hold our breath. Oh. Ah!
Oh.
Ooh.
Sun in Scorpio.
Oh, wow.
All right, so Sun in Scorpio. Well,
Intense eyes. That's all I think about.
intense eyes. Yes, always intense eyes. I think of, I was watching I was watching this show that's really popular right now called The Pitt. This feels very Scorpio too. It's on Max and it's kind of like the newer version of ER essentially. But it's like very realistic, like in the emergency room. There's a lot of blood and guts, a lot of death.
Okay.
And I just remember there's one character who identifies herself as a Scorpio. And she's like the most annoying character in the show. And I was having like bad thoughts about like, I was like, oh, this is bad. I hope that there's no sun Scorpios out here. I'm like, I love a Scorpio. I love a Scorpio moon. I love a Scorpio rising, but sometimes Scorpio suns really annoy me. Like, they can be so, like, I am so dark. I am so badass. And I'm like, shut up. That was the first thing I thought of.
That feels like an insecure Scorpio.
There are a lot of insecure Scorpios, though. I mean, there's an anxiety that can go along with Scorpio energy. So, yeah, I think that makes sense, right? Performative can be performative, like that performative darkness is kind of.
And fixated. Like I have like a lot of Aries stuff, right? Like I have Mars and Sun in Aries. I feel like I'm a very good representation of Aries, which is the other sign that Mars rules, right? And when I think of Aries, I think it's like quick, like we'll get really angry and then like we'll get over it, right? Or like flashes of anger and like a little bit unhinged, right? Like I'm mad at you because I'm like throwing rocks at your face or something. I don't do that anymore. But when I think of Scorpio, you're like, those fuckers hold on to things. Like Scorpio, it's like it still fucks me up. Like Scorpio friends, they'll just be quiet. You won't even know. They'll just be like, you're like, did I do something? I don't even know if I did something, and now I'm blocked, right? Like now,
Like energetically blocked.
I'm energetic. Like, and sometimes, I mean, no one's actually blocked me, but I could imagine the Scorpios are really good. Actually, I did have the one boyfriend that I cheated on. It was years ago. It was horrible. I still feel bad, but like, never spoke to me again. Like, that's the thing with Scorpios. It's like they hold on
Yes.
to shit and they will just cut you off.
It's true. I have a Scorpio moon, so I know a thing or two about holding on to shit. That's for sure. That's something I've been working on, my whole life. How to not hold on to stuff.
That is such a moon. That is a moon thing to be annoyed with the sun sign version of that. I almost imagine how like people with like poor Leo, it's different, like Leo moons, like are like always sometimes you'll see they have like a mother or someone who's like a sun Leo who's so just out there and big and charismatic and they're just like, oh, too much. So I love that you're like Scorpio moon is like, oh, sun signs. Like,
I
come on,
mean, I
pace
have some
yourself.
great Scorp I there's some great Scorpio signs that I have loved, but I have
Yeah.
also like met people who are Scorpio signs where my first reaction is an eye roll. And I think it's because of my Scorpio moon. It's like I feel things and they're like showing it in a way that's performative and I would never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when Scorpios love me.
Oh,
It's
okay.
my favorite kind of dating. 'Cause like when you like get a Scorpio to like you, they'll just like you forever unless you like cross them and then you're like
That's
fucked.
true. Yeah, they can have a there's an obsessive quality about Scorpio energy.
As a Leo rising, I love people to be obsessed with me.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing.
Well, as having Venus and Leo, I understand that as well. Being put on a pedestal feels good.
You know, even sometimes it gets a little like, wait, but I think that's a stalker now. You're like,
Yeah.
well, They send me gifts. I just can't, run into them in public, or I just don't answer their phone calls.
Yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. Love you, Scorpio. Well, with that, I feel like we had a pretty good episode.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much for dealing with me being doubly late and
Oh
not
my
knowing where
God,
my
it's all good.
computers.
We
I
made it
miss
work.
you. I'm really
I miss
excited to
you
see you in LA.
too. Me too. Yay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.